Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up.
Break it up with Linda
Mitchell. Ah, you said it, girl.
Jimmy
Dale. Yeah.
Ooh.
Break it up.
We share and care with love all through the land. We educate. Communicate and collaborate.
They want
we give, showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.
Well, good evening. Hey, it is Tell It Tuesday. We're going to have Miss Stephanie Haynes coming on with us, talking about healing trauma and being in the present. You know, we go through series here. We have some information for you. We hope you had a wonderful day today. And thank you so much for coming and letting us educate you, share the importance of unification, and talk about collaboration. That's what we're all about here. You know, but before we get going, you know, illusion about true nature of the existence is literally illusion about the nature of one's own life. This is the fundamental source of all illusions. If we are ignorant about the nature of our own existence, then we will be ignorant about the nature of other people's lives too. On the other hand, when our lives are free of illusion, we can perceive the treasured power that shines repentant in all people and in all things. So, you know, we always talk about being the sunshine out there, you know, even on a cloudy day. Keep in mind, as I heard a quote today, give flowers to your friends. And, you know, because your name is out there, it's only the title. The only reason why Waking Up with Linda Maxine is out here is not for Linda Maxine, it's offering opportunities to others. My vow is Maxine to heal the land. That's my vow. With confidence, caring, compassion, and with courage. You have to not have any fears when you're putting on those knee-high boots out there to make those changes. And we're here for you on Tell It Tuesday. Sit back and relax. Let's wait on Stephanie.
You and me.
We must be fearless. And Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Wound and The Healing of a Man's Heart, lets us know how to step in that being present at all times and healing all trauma that creates fear in our lives and trauma that can spread fear in our environment and the lives of others. Stephanie Haynes, are you on the air with us this evening?
Yes, good evening, Ms. Linda and listeners. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, and you know I'm putting it out there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're working on some heavy, deep projects that are going to come up this month, and we know you're busy. We appreciate you, and we have so much gratitude for you for coming on and caring and sharing and educating us. I got my pads and pencil ready, so I'm not going to take up another minute here. We want you to get started. Welcome in.
All right. So, listeners, thank you for joining us on this evening. So, tonight we're going to talk about, you know, being present. And the first topic we're going to talk about is being more awareness of our broader needs means less tunnel vision. All right. So, when we become hyper-focused on pursuing highly ambitious goals or plans with a kind of tunnel vision, at a high cost to both ourselves and the people around us. Now, we often exalt ourselves and become depleted, ignoring certain parts of our lives, and even giving up activities that would nourish us in order to pursue a goal that seemed more important. Now, I know that this is a tricky one, because most of undertakes major projects or set demanding goals in the various facets of our life. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't healthy to have goals, but however, how else could we get anything done? The point is to be aware that pursuing ambitious goals can tend to consume us, and inevitably at times it feels like they have taken over our entire lives, because they have. Now, we talked about this last week, like how we can over-exert ourselves doing many projects at one time, and I'm guilty of that. And but being present in the midst of doing all of that, right? So sometimes prioritizing goals attainment over being sensitive to our broader needs often means that we are compromising our health and well-being. I have done that before. So while we pursue a goal that's meaningful to us, how can we reconcile the demands and at the same time pay attention to other aspects of our lives. It isn't easy. You know, I'm about to talk about is how to include in our lives the people and the things that are important to us without becoming overwhelmed or drained. And that's what I have learned to do because I do so many things. Now, sometimes family or work demands put us in predicaments that do require our full attention for days or weeks. And this situation, it can be helpful to look at the larger picture as well, be doing in, you know, pacing, you know, how we just pace ourselves as we work on activities. But the basic question with pacing as it relates to I pursuing a demanding goal is whether this is the time to do so, to extend that we have control over with our engaged lives, inevitably projects and goals in mind. Our broader view can help us get through such intense times. Now, for now, the important takeaway is that present provides the tiny but necessary first step in our becoming aware of when we have become consumed by a particular goal. And to the conclusion of our own health and well-being. Now, I want you to take some time just to bring to your mind something that feels like it has taken over your life. What is that thing? Now, likely because it has, is there anything you can do to reduce its role in your life right now or in the near future? Now, even small adjustments may relieve some of the pressure you feel. Also considering how attaining this goal fits into your broader view of your life can be helpful as you navigate this particular demanding time. So let's talk about the science supporting the benefits of presence. Now, the science underlying the benefit of mindfulness is growing exponentially in the 1970s. Now, there was just a handful of scientific articles on meditation. Now, today, there are approximately 7,000 with over 1,000 release annually. Now, the arrival of the research coincided with the neuroscientific findings showing that the mindfulness has an impact on the structure and the function of our brain through a process called neuroplasticity. Now, neuro refers to our neurons, and plasticity describes our brain malleability in response to experiences. So that is, our adult brain can be transformed by experience. Now, as recently as 25 years ago, we believed that after puberty, our brain did not change. The neurons are the basic brain cells that connect with each other at linkage called the synapse that helps for the structure of the brain. Now, where we focus on our attention, the neurons, the fire, and where this neutral firing happens, we grow connection. In areas without firing neurons, we actually can reduce the numbers of the connections in a process the scientists call the synaptic pruning. Now, thanks to the neuroplasticity, our brain structures can change with experiences, growing our neural connections in the same way that we sculpture our muscle. What does this mean for mindfulness? It means that the more we can inhabit a mental state of presence, the more likely the state of brain firing associated with presence will become a trait of baseline brain activity. There is more of a chance that we will be able to inhabit a state of presence since we have trained that state to be our baseline trait. So whether we are being fully present for a conversation or practicing yoga, we can create states that actually become enduring traits. In other words, we can change our baseline state or habituary pattern that we tend to do when on auto to mindlessly react to a stronger likelihood that we will be able to mindfully respond. In this way, we can come to often respond in ways that we may be more consistent with what we really want to say or do rather than what we may blur out without the benefit of constantly choosing our words. But they're good news. Our brain ability to form the new connections and therefore new habits is possibly any age with an exponential growth in scientific research, specifically around the way the brain grows with the mindfulness practices and their implications for our well-being. Now, what's the process in the brain by which the state of presence can become a trait? Now, the idea is that by practicing mindfulness, attention, as it is strengthening our focus of attention and opening our awareness, for example, the neurons fire and create a clear and receptive state of mind, which when repeated over time can become a trait. Traits occur when the grounds of neural connection, the three ways we can strengthen the neurons connection are by growing new neurons, at least in the hippo, or still being explored. Now, modifying synaptic connections and laying down the myelin, which is a sheet that makes the communication among the interconnection neurons 3,000 times faster and more coordinated. Now, the neuroscience paraphrase this research regarding how the synapse and how those connect and how it creates the communication. Now, where do our attention goes? The neural firing flows and the neural connection grows. Think about when a person has a stroke, such as myself, and how some of my synapse wasn't connecting because it messed up my speech pattern and wasn't able to communicate clearly, slurring, or even forgetting or not forgetting and not, like now I can't even talk, can't get it out. Remembering or to be able to say what you need to say, because sometimes stuff gets stuck in the brain. You think you're talking and saying what's in the brain, but it's not coming out, right? So with meditation, daily meditation, actually what I was doing during those times when I was recovering from my stroke, it helped me. It helped heal those connections. So this works when trying to be present. Because I remember when, after I had my stroke and how traumatizing it was, just being able to remember what's happening in the present was very difficult for me. I can remember what happened in the past, but in the present, in the moment, it was very difficult for me. So there are parts of the brain that I like to introduce now, because it make a powerful difference in how I approach my own mindfulness practice. Now, as we've been discussing, the mind naturally wanders. And in fact, it does so by default. Studies have shown that when people are like or asked to do nothing, their brain activity is being measured. The default to the mind wandering that often takes the form of an ongoing narrative all about themselves. The brain scan of the participant reveals that a large midline network in the cortex lights up, it indicating a major increase in the neural activity, even though the volunteer has been asked to do nothing inside the scanner. You know, because when you go do an MRI, you can't see anything. And if you're like me, I was even scared to go inside one because I have claustrophobic. So I had to end up doing an open MRI. But they want you to be still. You can't move and you can't say anything. Only breathe. Right? So this was the result of an excessive activity of the mostly midline circuit of a part of the brain scientists have aptly named the default mode network, which is the DMN. Now, the neuroscientist Justin Bird pointed out that while the exact function of the DMN are still debated, given its prominence in the self-refrontal process, we can think of it as the me, the network that links ourselves to our inner and outer world. The DMN circuit, when overact, not only tend to make us self-preoccupied, but as part of our social brain that calls us to compare ourselves, even worry about what others think of us. Imagine for a moment how active our midline default circuit must be when we visit social media platforms. Now, science suggests that one way we can get our chatterbox mind to calm down is to activate the latter or the side sensory. For example, when we sense our breath, we activate our side or the lateral circuit, and the midline, which is the DMN, where out thought the safari originates, quiets down. Now, in belief, activating the lateral sensory circuit inhibits the firing of the midline, which is the DM circuit. as discussed, you know, I talked about before, over time, this intentionally created states of presence can become a baseline trait, a default way of being. The neuroplasticity enabled the connection in the brain to grow, supporting a more balanced or integrated role of the DMN with the rest of the brain. Now, the DMN, for example, is needed for empathy and insight. Having a more integrated DMN means being able to actively choose when to be in the present moment or to Now, why am I so excited about the DMN? Because when we are present with our current situation, our stories staring each one of us, but not as likely to take us over. The two cannot exist simultaneously. Distraction can still arise, but over time with intentions back to the present. Now remember, mindfulness is not about an empty mind, but a clear mind. Sometimes an overly active and not integrated DMN can make us anxious, depressed, and even lose touch with who we truly are. Now, more moments experienced in the present means more time as our most resilient self. Now, I want to recite a poem. And it's love after love. The time will come when with elations you will greet yourself arriving at your own door, in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to yourself, to the stranger who has loved you and your life, whom you ignore for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letter from the bookshelf. Photograph the desperate note. Peel your own image from the mirror and sit. Now feast on your life. Now, that's by Derek Walcott. Now, how many of us really just sit back through all of our trauma, our drama, our misfortune, the things that we've been through, and we sometimes we lose ourselves into those things and not really coming back to center, coming back to your heart? Because he said, give back your heart to itself. Now, to the stranger who has loved you. And we forget that at times when we go through so much, forget who we really are. And we become this person unworthy, undeserving, the shame, the guilt, and all of that comes in. But now we're going to talk about self-compassion towards our own inner critic. Because sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves. So there's nothing inherently troubling about our inner voice or narrative However, when it's inflexible or negative, as we will ruminate about the past or worry about the future, it can quickly become our inner critic. Are you your own inner critic? Or, Allie, you are like many of us. You are both. But leaning closer towards the inner enemy more often than not. Now, one of the hardest challenges for us can be to give ourselves a break when we haven't met expectations, either those of others or our own. Now, as a result, befriending our suffering or inner enemy, especially hard work. Now, this is where self-compassion comes in. So I hope you got your pens and papers out, because now I want you to write down something. So listen carefully. Self-kindness, standing with ourselves rather than critical and judgmental. Number two, common humanity, or feeling connected with others and recognizing that imperfection and difficulties or share parts of our human experience rather than feeling isolated by our shortcomings. Then number three, mindfulness, or holding our experiences in awareness rather than avoiding or aggravating our pain. Now, hear how the three components complement each other and are interwoven. Now, the open and acceptance stance of mindfulness can assist us in being kind to ourselves by lessening self-judgment. This stance also provides insight so we can recognize our common humanity, realizing that we are all connected and all have challenges. Similarly, self-kindness can lessen the impact of negative emotional experiences, so it's easier to be mindful of them or hold them in our awareness. Furthermore, remembering that we all experience personal failures, which are part of our human, as part of being human, helpless self-blame, and harsh self-judgment. So what I can do is all I can do. All will be enough. That's what happens. That's what we say sometimes to ourselves. It's what I can do is all I can do, and that will be enough. So never has been experienced the power of self-compassion, not only in experience research and teaching thousands of people to the more self-compassionate, but personally as well. Now, her son, Rowan, was diagnosed with autism. She practiced self-compassion and experienced feeling of disappointment, fear, anxiety, and not knowing if she could cope. Now, after feeling, she described as one you are supposed to have as a parent. Let's face it. that we're all supposed to have compassion as a parent, even as a person, but especially as a parent, because each one of your children is totally different. All of their personalities are different, and you have to treat each and every one of them differently. So she allowed herself to accept all of these feelings without judgment or shame, and found that the more she could accept herself and her own struggles with having an autistic child, the more she could love and accept him as he was. Now, self-compassion is about being kind, caring, and supportive of ourselves when we are struggling, just as we could take care of a good friend. Now, if you're like most of us, you are a much better friend to others than yourself. As Nerf said, now, if you treat your friend the way you treat yourself, you will have no friends. Now, I'm going to say that again. If you treat your friends the way you treat yourself, you would have no friends. What is she saying here? Now, research has shown that 80% of us are more compassionate to others than to ourselves. People who practice self-compassion enjoy marriage health benefits, including reacting to stress with lower levels of stress hormones and having less anxiety and depression. Increased self-compassion also leads to reduced negative mind states such as shame, suicidal ideation, negative body image, and distorted eating. Now, likewise, self-compassion is related to enhanced immune function like satisfaction, happiness, gratitude, self-confidence, and body appreciation. Now, self-compassion can also be a powerful source of strength and being resilient. Now, one study of divorced couples, for example, found that the most reliable indicator of how they were doing 1 year post-divorce was whether they were a good friend to themselves. That's similarly for veterans just back from the combat. Self-compassion was more predictive of post-traumatic stress disorder, which is PTSD, than the level of the combat exposure. So it's not what happens to us, but how we treat ourselves when times are tough. It comes down to whether we are most often our own inner enemy or ally. So here's a quick illustration of what being kind to yourself could look like in your daily life. You have had a very long day at work and finally made it home exhausted at around 8 p.m. Now, being kind to yourself that evening would entail not getting back on your email, but taking the rest of the evening off and relaxing in one of your favorite ways. Now, how many of us are guilty of this? Once you leave work, you come home to work. I know I'm guilty of that, especially when I'm working on more than one project. But there are times that I say enough is enough. You know, my body tells me now, you know, as you get older, you can't push your body to a certain limit No, you know, I normally can stay up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Now my body says 10 o'clock, you know. I used to stay up to 12:30. I said, okay, 12:30. Now my body's telling me 10 o'clock. You know, so it's very important how we, you know, take care of ourselves. So now we're going to talk about the perfection doesn't make you feel perfect. It makes you feel inadequate. So why isn't self-compassion value in our culture? And why is it so hard for us to be our own best friend? Is it the way we was raised? Our culture? What is that? Want to chime in on that for me, Miss Linda?
Okay. I have no problem being my own best friend. I think that comes at an early age. It's the way, let me go back. When you're young, see, my parents allowed me to play with others, but then at times they made me play alone. And I could never figure that out until I began to get older, okay? So therefore, what they taught me was don't wait on anyone. Put yourself out there ahead. Join the crowd, but be the leader of the crowd. So I guess most people have a real hard time thinking that I'm actually a loner. I can entertain myself. I don't need to be with the crowd. But that culture that was given to me, but I didn't understand it. Yeah, no. Now you play with yourself. Now you entertain yourself. Now, so I go, when I came to Los Angeles, I love opera. I couldn't find anybody to go to opera with me. They looked at me like I was crazy. I love the opera. So I'd get all dressed up. I go to the opera, and the instruments and the high notes and the songs, the voices put me to sleep. And I go to sleep, wake up, pat my slobber from the side of my face and throw my head up in the air and go and get in a taxi and come back home. That was a culture that was given to me as a child. So it's kind of hard for me to say because I'm going to take care of myself. I will be there for you, but I have a cutoff point. I have a cutoff point. So my friends, I treat them the way I treat me, so therefore, you know, they kind of understand, always putting them up, never beating myself up, never, okay? It's right. Okay, so shake it up and keep moving forward because we're not perfect, and you have to make that an affirmation that nothing is perfect and no one is perfect. Now, I am aware of energies that come in on me that try to bring it to me. And I'm working on that because I get real angered. I get real angered because I have to look at you and tell you that crap is not going to work, take it across the street. And so then you realize who's for you and who's not for you, because when you have to come out strong like that and tell a person what they're doing and what they're not going to do, you make enemies. But that's okay too, because my culture is I'm a loner anyway. So that's kind of hard for me to answer, but I know it starts at an early age. And that's mm-hmm. what look, my parents look, yeah. did for me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It starts at an early age.
Yeah.
It's in your blood. It's in your training.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. I said everything starts early.
Yeah.
You know,
it's in
you
know. I hope I answered the best that I could, because.
You did great.
Thank you.
You know,
you did
great. You know, because sometimes, you know, people might think, you know, having that self-compassion for yourself, that you've been, you know, indulging, you're lazy, you're selfish, you're self-centered, or you're weak.
Who cares?
You know, but that's right. And then we look at society and what society put out there, what
yes.
beauty is.
Yes.
What
yes.
is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Society put a lot of stuff out there. What being accomplished, right?
Yes.
Yes,
like
know,
I said, what the definition of it is.
All these material things.
Right, right. You have to, what, that's your happiness, you know, like, well, you know, giving presents, you know, how can I put it? You have to have this, you have to have that. Everybody to each his own. I like old cars. I like antique cars. Sometimes I wash my car, sometimes I don't. Okay, but in the city of Los Angeles, the way they be jacking cars around here, I don't want no attention dog to me. Okay, these people are crazy out here. It's okay. It's just the times we're going through. And people look at me and they kind of, well, you should be this and that. No, I shouldn't. If I need to do all that, I can ride with you. None of that, cross, because that doesn't make me. But that's just me. So when we go through these societal things where you shouldn't do this and you, I have problems, you know, people. I do have problems. They have problems because I really don't care. That's why I share and care. And when you came on tonight, I said, you know, when a person carries a title or something, the title is not for that person. The title is set there to give opportunity. You see the difference there? And so most people say, oh, you have to be all of this, and you have to head up this. And you know, no, I don't. But I do have to sit in that seat. I have to sit in that seat so I can structure and give opportunities to others. And it doesn't say, it kind of like throws them. You know, it's not about that. It's about this. So when you say the society, sure, I was speaking with Tiffany last night with a young man. She had met, and he said he wanted to go to trade school, but he was kind of ashamed of it, and she encouraged him. You know, trade school is good. I said, I've been to so many trade schools, and I have so many licenses. Then I worked backwards and went and got all the acclimates, so, which was a piece of cake. But society say, well, if you don't go to a reputable university, you're not educated right. The baby across the street can educate you, okay?
Right.
The man standing on the corner can educate you. And it's just like I'm hearing what you're saying, those myths and the way the society, but it's all done in, and see, with our culture, okay, without tribal, we're tribal people, okay? We have cultures within cultures, and each culture teaches different. So what we have to do is come together, Stephanie, that's why we do what we do, and talk about the trauma and talk about the healing and have the dialogue so we can understand, because we're tribal and we come from many cultures. We're cultures within a culture.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree with me on that? So we've all been taught differently depending on the demographics where you were, nobody is the same. Nobody is the same. So when society sets those rules out there, they have a problem, because you're dealing with a culture within a culture. They have a problem. So therefore, you want to be labeled as rebellious or uncontrolled, whatever tag you know they put on you. Whatever. It's okay, because they don't understand. So that's why we do what we do, because dialogue is the key, and you and I know that the voice does the work. And on that note, since you got me started, because I knew it was coming, we got a few minutes here. I don't know if we want to control this and go into segment next week to wrap it up, or how do you want to do it? We have about maybe 6 minutes left here.
Oh, no, we'll be doing this for a couple more weeks.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I like that. Because the word, just the title, healing trauma, is eye-catching, makes you start thinking. But then when you come in with being in the present, see, that puts another spin on it, and that's why I love it. I love anything you do, whatever topic you pick. But before we go, I'm not going to, I don't want to cut it off, but I do want you to give us some information to prepare us on this Grown and Sexy, the 15th, and there's a wellness event. Can you give us some information on that? Or is it a bit too early? What do you think?
Oh no. The next event for the Grown and Sexy is going to be, you know, for women. And
okay. We're
going to be talking about self-care for menopause, on how to eat, things, you know, the things in your environment, the things that you eat, how to take care of yourself, and speaking of the womb and taking care of the womb. Okay. And the speaker is giving out some great samples. So when I send out the link for you, you know, making sure that you tell your people to register, and if they want to get the products before the event, they have to send in their address to be able to pick it up. I mean, so it can be mailed out to them.
Okay, this is going to be virtual, right?
Yes, it's going to be virtual. There's a lot of goodies.
Okay, virtual, and that's on April 15th?
That's correct. It's from 7 to 9.
Okay, 7 to 9. And April 15th is on the Friday show. You know, we go back and forth because we can support any way we can. And that might be the Friday, the Find It Out Friday, that we're going to tell them what we found out on Friday on Monday, okay? So send that information
okay.
to me so I can stop that out, because we do have to do back and forth with that support. And I saw another beautiful flyer for a wellness event. Is that at the end of the month? Is that something that we should talk about, or what is that about?
Yes, that is a wellness event that's happened on the 30th.
Okay.
And it's going to be different healers there, you know, for the community to come and get rejuvenated. You know,
okay.
You're going to have someone to give them massages, foot detox, Reiki, and yoga.
Ooh.
People are selling
okay.
products, you know, healing products, you know, for the body and
okay.
for the hair and womb care. So they'll be able to come out and just rejuvenate into their. The last past 2 years has been very, very stressful
yes.
for us because of the pandemic, right? And
yes.
then what's going on right now with Ukraine, with the war in Russia.
Yes.
You know, so the world right now needs some healing. So
definitely.
This is the time to come and, you know, rejuvenate, you know, retrieve
this
your soul.
This is going to be in person.
This
is all
going to
be in person. Okay, now we'll send the information. Is there a cost to this, or is this open, or how
no,
is this structured?
It's free to come. Yeah, but you
okay.
have to pay for your services.
I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but you have to pay for the services. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's about the unification and the collaboration that we have a few weeks here. To get this out, because we have next week, and then the 15th, by then we'll decide if we're going to tell them what we found out from your event on Friday. We'll tell them on mine for Monday, because we alternate like that. So get that registration information out to me. And the 30th is on a Saturday, which is a good thing. You know, persons need it, but the healing is needed. And I told persons that it's only two people on this earth. And we are here. They're healers and there's teachers too. So
mm-hmm.
when the healers come out, you know, to start healing up, they're here for a purpose. They have a vow. There's only two people. It's two categories, healers and teachers. So the healers go and learn, and you cannot heal anyone until you heal yourself. So, you know, that's 24/7 work, and the teachers learn from everybody. So I'm looking forward to that. And on that note, I don't want to cut you off, but we have to cut off. Give us our last words here. Just give us something to take us to next week before we come into the segment number 3 on being in the presence and healing trauma. What would you like to tell us, Stephanie?
Well, I just want to have you to take this question down and write it down, and then we're going to come back with this question.
Okay.
So what other misgivings do you have about self-compassion?
Okay.
What other misgivings do you have about self-compassion?
Miss Felice.
Now, we talked about some.
Okay.
But what is your thought?
Okay. What other misbeliefs do you have about compassion? That is the question, right?
Self-compassion.
Self-compassion. Got you. Well, on
yes.
that note, Stephanie,
yes.
why I'm going to say thank you. You know, there's a Stephanie, and I think Thursday, and we're all connected, there will be a Stefan coming on Think Thursday. She's going to share with us and give us something to think about. Okay, but she's a healer like yourself. Well, you know, you're similar. But I keep saying, why are these S's coming in my life? Because, you know, I like to put acclimates and stuff on there. I said, wow, S stands for success. Successful, strong people, okay? When you open up and when you light that candle, when you light that candle for others, your path becomes brighter. And you hone in to the persons that you need in your life, that you collaborate together, the unification steps in, and you guys continue on that path, creating happiness for yourself and for others. Stephanie, we love you. Have a great evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Love you.
Love you, too. Take care. Thanks for having me.